It's an all-new Football NYC on YesNetwork.com. Former offensive lineman Ross Tucker and Joe Callow give the best Big Apple football insight on the web, all about Big Blue and Gang Green.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around.
And here's Joe Callow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Football NYC. It is week 10. Yes, unbelievable week 10 in the NFL. Joe Callow here, joined as always by former NFL lineman and one of the co-hosts of This Week in Football, the one, the only, Ross Tucker. And Ross, I think I have to start off with the Giants this week since they're going into a bye week. They finally take a break from this terrible month that they've had. This was a really tough loss. I mean, if you were going to go into a bye week, would you rather lose big or lose a game like the Giants did on Sunday?
I'd say probably don't lose at all. I'd rather win. Out of the two, I guess they can take some comfort, some solace in the fact that they weren't blown out. I mean, the three previous games of that, I know they weren't blown out by the Arizona Cardinals, but the Eagles destroyed them, the Saints destroyed them. I think they can at least feel good about, okay, we're playing better. The defense played better. The offense ran the football better, did some things better. You know, that was a game that was one play here, one penalty there, one field goal botched attempt here, back and forth. They easily could have won it. So at least they're there. They're back in the picture, but it's emotionally devastating to lose a close game like that. But if they got blown out again, I mean, I think they'd be going all the way back to the drawing board.
And I always try to be an optimistic Giant fan. I always try to see the good side of things. But what you just said right there, at least they didn't get blown out. Now, let's face it. This is a team with a lot of talent. And the last couple of weeks, they were embarrassed on TV against the Saints and against the Eagles. I mean, embarrassed. Just when they got it close, just before the halftime, these teams would run off two, three touchdowns and blow the game away, and the Giants would just look lost out there. Now, given they didn't look lost this week, but San Diego dropped a lot of passes, and this was a Giants home game, which they really needed to have going into the bye, and it just seemed to me, the way this game ended, with Phillip Rivers not having the better stats during the game than Eli Manning, and the way they would drop passes, and the way they showed up to score that last drive, that's the same way the Giants have been winning games on the road the last couple of years.
Yeah, and it's really, if you think about it, to say, well, at least they kept it close, at least they weren't blown out, that's a loser's mentality. Yeah. I mean, that is a St. Louis Ram mentality, or, you know, one of the downtrodden franchises in the league. That's not a New York Giant mentality. At least they kept it close.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be saying that about the Giants, especially at home. And let's be honest, the Chargers are now 5-3. They're on a roll, but that's not a fantastic team by any stretch of the imagination. And the Giants, I think what probably galls them the most, they had so many chances to win the game, so many chances to put them away, so many chances to cement the victory. And, you know, for this big, bad defense that's been so feared the last couple of years, look, they got to look themselves in the mirror because they gave up 80 yards on that final drive. And unlike a lot of people, Joe, that are going to, you know, use revisionist history and say blame Coughlin for running the ball on third down with Brandon Jacobs when they got in the red zone, that didn't bother me because, A, I felt like you wanted to take more time off the clock. B, you're sitting there thinking, well, they've only scored 14 points on our defense all day. There's no way they're going to go 80 yards for a touchdown.
But I have a problem with that, Russ, only because, okay, I could see if this was the way the Giants were playing in the beginning of season or even last year with that ferocious defense and the pass rush, okay? Now, given it was against bad teams. But going and playing conservative there when it's first down on the four-yard line, and I don't care about the holding penalty. You didn't try to poke it into the end zone once. Now, if this was a defense which has played spectacular or even very good over the last month, I would say okay. But what has this defense shown you over the last month?
I think Coughlin and company, they were going more by playing the odds that day. Plus, you know, that last down, you know, from the 11-yard line or wherever they were, were they the 11? Is that right? When they the third down with the handoff to Jacobs, you know. There's such small windows to try to throw the ball in the end zone. And from the 11-yard line, that's actually like the worst place you can be because it's very difficult to try to fit it in there. And you could, if you had an interception and you don't get it three on the board, then you really look silly.
But the last thing I wanted to touch on is I was a little upset about Tom Coughlin's comments after the game where he said the reason why they didn't go for a touchdown down there and throw the ball, he wanted to prevent a turnover. Now, Eli Manning had his best day in a while since that injury on his foot. And Eli Manning was throwing the ball pretty good. And the drive before that, that touchdown pass to Kevin Boss, I mean, they drove down the field. It was very impressive. So by saying that about Eli Manning when he had a decent day throwing the ball, that just really upset me because, you know, you're not going for the jugular. You had a team on the ropes. I understand Brandon Jacobs ran the ball down to the one-yard
line. Right.
The holding penalty. Unfortunately, the holding penalty. Which didn't show a replay on TV, so we never really got
to see. I've seen it, and I thought it was a poor call. I thought it was, you know, Chris Snee pancaked the guy. However, you know, the way the NFL's gotten now, if you pancake a guy, they're going to call you for a hold because they don't think that anyone's good enough to actually do that.
Yeah. But the one thing that bothered me and after that was three plays. Not once did they have Eli try to throw it into the end zone to Boss or to anybody. And Eli was throwing the ball very good that day. It just really upset me because I agree with you. I think now they're starting to take on a loser mentality where saying, okay, we played close at least this week. Well, that's a lot of bull because this is a team with too much talent and this is a team which had expectations of getting to the playoffs, maybe even getting to another Super Bowl. So I just don't buy it. So now they have the bye week. Do you see them going to the playoffs?
Right now, no, but that can change. I mean, that can change in an instant. There's a lot of teams in the same category as they are, and we'll talk about them in one of the next segments here. But there's a lot of teams that some of them are going to be going on a run here, and those are the teams that are going to make the postseason.
Okay, well, the New York Jets are coming off their bye, and they're taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, one of the games that Ross has this weekend, and we're going to be right back and talk about that one on Football NYC.
Go to YesNetwork.com to check out the latest This Week in Football segment exclusively for the website. And while you're there, don't forget to also check out Gordon Damer Fantasy Gamer for the best in your fantasy picks. That's all at YesNetwork.com.
We are back. Football NYC. We're going to start a little Jets talk here. The Jets coming off a bye week with a 4-4 record. Now, I don't know what people really expected out of them with a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach, but a lot of people got excited about this team after the first couple of games, and a lot of people a little down on them now since they leveled out to 4-4. But what did you take away from the first half of the season?
Ups and downs, the roller coaster, like you said. Defensively, they were so dominant early, and Sanchez seemingly was so precocious that you thought they actually have a legit chance. They could be the Matt Ryan Atlanta Falcons or the Joe Flacco Baltimore Ravens. I mean, that's the sense that you got from this football team the first 3 weeks. And then ever since the Saints beat them and they lost, they've just no longer had the same swagger that they had before. And they've had some bad losses, you know. Both Dolphins losses are especially gut-wrenching, in particular at home where they score three touchdowns, two on kickoff returns and one on a fumble return. I mean, that was the game. Let's put it this way, Joe. When the Jets don't make the playoffs, I don't think that they will. Let's say they get to 8-8, 9-7. That's going to be one of the games they point to.
Wow.
That second Dolphins game, the one at home, you cannot afford to lose that type of game.
And I thought I saw the big change come at the end of the second half of the Buffalo Bills game where it looked like neither team really wanted to win the game because they were so concerned about their quarterbacks making a mistake. And I thought that's the first time where Rex Ryan really went on a defense here saying, you know what, I got to make this quarterback do as little as possible because I think my defense has a better chance of winning this game than my offense.
Yeah, the Bills' loss at home was brutal as well. I mean, to lose at home to Buffalo and Miami. If you think about it, those were two so winnable games. The Jets could very easily be 6-2.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, we all know what the phrase is, but would've, could've, should've. I mean, that doesn't really do a whole lot for you in the National Football League. They still have a chance to go on a run here, just like the Giants do. It's just hard to picture it happening. It really is. There's too many things going wrong with this football team right now, and you can't use that as an excuse, but they lost two of their best five football players.
Yeah.
Leon Washington, Chris Jenkins.
Yeah.
That's tough for any team to come back from, and we've seen how hard it is for the Giants to come back from the losses of some of the guys they haven't had over the weeks. You know, the Canny, the Aaron Ross, the Kenny Phillips, the Bowley, those type of guys.
And I think the window of opportunity with the New England Patriots is closed because the New England Patriots started off slow. Tom Brady needed a couple of weeks to get everything back. And I think that window now, it looks like the Patriots are going to be a playoff team. They're probably going to win a division. Buffalo is a weird team because Buffalo, you know, just when you think they're going to get blown out, they play a team tough and maybe even win the game. And then the Dolphins, who I don't care what their record is. I think they're still a decent football team, and they put up a good fight with whoever they play. I mean, they showed that twice against the Jets. They played a decent game against the New England Patriots. So, you know, I think the Jets went from, okay, they're pretty decent. It's a weak division this year, considering the Patriots aren't that good, to now, you know, maybe this the third best in their division?
Well, and they got to win this game. You know, they're playing at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags are 4-4, which is somewhat surprising. I didn't have very high expectations for the Jags coming into this year at all, but they have gotten into four wins. But the last two times the Jags went on the road, to Seattle and to Tennessee, they got blasted. So if you're the Jets, you're the one coming off a bye. You're playing at home. They have to win this game. I mean, you know, I'm not going to write them off at 4-4, but if they get to 4-5, I will absolutely write them off.
And I think a lot depends on Thomas Jones, because you said it a couple of weeks ago. When Leon Washington went down, as great as Sean Green looked when he first went in there against the Raiders and he has some fresh legs, he's not Leon Washington.
Nope.
And
nope, not many people are.
Right. I mean, it's tough to replace a guy just like that, especially with a rookie. That, I mean, that's high expectations to jump in there mid-season and take over for Leon Washington. So do you think that eventually the Jets are going to rely more on the passing game or just keep pounding the ball?
I think they'll keep pounding the ball. They've been running the ball so effectively. You know, Sanchez is going to be a good play action type of quarterback, and that all starts with running the football and then having him throw off of that. You know, it seems to me like he gets himself in trouble, obvious passing down. So the Jets will likely do whatever they can to keep him out of the third and long situation. Now, every team does that on the surface, but there are some teams, the Colts, the Patriots, where it's like, or the Saints, well, we can still get on third and long. Third and long is trouble for Sanchez and the Jets right now.
And since you have this game this weekend, Jets and Jaguars, what do you think?
I like the Jets. I like the Jets because they're coming off a bye. I like the Jets because they're at home. I like the Jets because they're going to win one for Ross.
All right. So Ross likes the Jets to go once again over 500. We're going to be right back with some interesting matchups for this Week 10. This has been Football NYC. Joe Callow, Ross Tucker. We'll be right back.
Attention all high school football players. Log on to GoBigRecruiting.com, the new and simple way to submit your game films to the colleges of your choice. Forget tapes and DVDs, upload your entire game online and get the comfort of notifications that the school of your choice watched the film. That's GoBigRecruiting.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Football NYC, Joe Callow, Ross Tucker. We are in Week 10. We're going to talk about some interesting matchups this weekend. And the first one I have to bring up is coming off that impressive victory Monday night against the Denver Broncos. The Pittsburgh Steelers really look like they have everything going for them now. Ferocious defense. Mendenhall is running the ball great. Big Ben is, well, Big Ben. I mean, he's just solid at the quarterback position against the Cincinnati Bengals, who are in first place.
Yeah, I can't believe the Bengals have been able to sustain this success like this. And like I always say to you, Joe, at some point you got to believe what you're seeing. And right now the Bengals are a darn good team. I mean, they went over 100 yards rushing with Cedric Benson both times against the Baltimore Ravens. Carson Palmer's playing as well as he has since 2005. They have it clicking on defense, which is really the most surprising thing. Because remember, they lost Antoine Odom, you know, who was leading the NFL in sacks, tore his Achilles. He's out. Yet the Bengals D is still getting it going. But this is a tough task. They're going to Pittsburgh to face a Steelers team that clearly has their mojo back. Yeah. You know, I did their game several weeks back against the Vikings where they really started to turn up the heat defensively, scoring on that side of the ball. We saw that again Monday night. Tyrone Carter had the interception for a touchdown. Hit another interception later. Paul Amalo had an interception. You know, this is a Kyle Orton and a Denver Broncos team. Orton only thrown one pick coming into the game. It was on a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
So the Steelers' defense is back to being opportunistic. Now, what's interesting about that, though, is Denver was moving the ball very effectively on them in the first half of the Monday Nighter, but for whatever reason, they couldn't convert. It just seems like the Steelers, whether it's guys like Brett Kiesel or whoever, they make the plays they need to exactly when they have to. Offensively, you know, this offensive line's been ripped to shreds by people in the media. Rashard Mendenhall went over 150 yards Monday night. I mean, he ran the ball very well. And a lot of times when they do get sacked, it's Ben holding on to the ball. I mean, he holds on to the ball so long sometimes, You forgive him for that because he also makes plays doing the same thing.
And he's very tough to bring down. Most of the time, it takes more than one guy to bring him down. And I just think, as much as the Cincinnati Bengals want to say they're playing with confidence after they beat the Ravens and they said, well, we expected to win this game, I just think the Pittsburgh Steelers just show the confidence all the time, especially with their defense, because their defense is what gets things going. The game that you were at against the Minnesota Vikings, I mean, the defense was the big difference in that game. The defense, watching the game Monday night against the Denver Broncos, I mean, the first pick to take it back for a touchdown, the defense is what started them off, because that was a low-scoring game up until the second half. And I just think playing them at home, and another thing I want to bring up about the Steelers is their receivers. Hines Ward is having a fantastic year. You know, I mean, Santonio Holmes coming off the Super Bowl MVP.
Heath Miller.
He's having a solid year. Heath Miller's having his best year.
And this guy, Mike Wallace, the rookie from Mississippi. I mean, the Steelers, you know, there's a reason why they have 6 Super Bowl titles.
Yeah. So you like them this weekend against Cincinnati?
I do. I'll take the Steelers at home.
Another interesting matchup this weekend is the Indianapolis Colts, who just keep impressing people every week. An impressive win against, you know, a tough Houston Texans team. Now playing the New England Patriots. This is one of those rivalries from 5 years ago, which was must-see TV. It's Indianapolis playing in Indy. What do you like in this game?
It's amazing to me. It seems like these teams play every year. I think they play every year for like 7 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that's worked out, that's the fact, but it has. The Patriots kind of, they've got their rhythm going now as well. They've won several in a row in convincing fashion. The Colts, not as much. Now, they're undefeated, but the last two games have been very close at home to the Texans and the Niners. So one would think that the Patriots are better than those two teams. And if the Patriots come in and play the way they have it, the Patriots would get the win. This is a tough one to call, though.
Yeah.
I don't know, Joe. It's a toss-up, flip a coin, whatever you want to do. I guess I'll take the Patriots because I feel like they're playing better than the Colts are right now. The Colts are moving the football as well, but they're still just not able to put up the points that they used to, especially in the red zone.
The last game I wanted to touch on this weekend was the San Diego Chargers and the Philadelphia Eagles. San Diego being the home team, coming off a great emotional victory. Phillip Rivers was really, really happy after that game and made sure everybody knew that nobody was getting near him with a pass rush after the game was over and ran around Giant Stadium with his hands up in the air, and he had a right to. He won a big game on the road, you know, in the last couple of seconds. And they're going up against Philadelphia Eagles, which I really don't know what to think of them, because they can look so good against a team like the Giants and look so good some weeks. And Donovan McNabb some weeks just look lost. He's throwing balls into the dirt. Now, I'm not taking anything away from the Dallas Cowboys, because the Cowboys played a good game. And the Cowboys are really maturing now into a decent football team. But what can you take away from the Eagles?
They're up and down. They're very inconsistent, like you said. I mean, they're the same team that lost the Oakland Raiders. Need I say more? I don't know, though. This is the type of game where they typically bounce back, you know, against the Chargers. But the Chargers have it rolling as well. I'm glad that you brought this game up, because the more I think about this game, the more excited I get about it. Although, you know, knowing where your loyalty lies, Joe, I'm sure you're the biggest Chargers fan in the world this weekend.
This week I am. Phillip Rivers, give me that jersey, baby. I don't know. I just think that the Philadelphia Eagles, now the NFC East, I was really impressed. At the beginning of the year, I really thought they were one of the best divisions in football. But you know what? Seeing how Giants have gotten down to mediocrity now, and the Dallas Cowboys, sure, I want to give them credit, but, you know, I'm still not thinking that the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in the division. Is it left to the Philadelphia Eagles? Are they the best team in the division? And if they are, I feel better about the Giants making the playoffs, because the Eagles are just so inconsistent.
Well, I'd say right now the Cowboys are the best team. And for this game, I'll take the Chargers at home.
All right. So Ross likes the Chargers. Good news for the Giant fans and for the Cowboy fans for this weekend. Thanks again, Ross. Appreciate you having. And this has been Football NYC with Joe Callow and Ross Tucker. Come back to yesnetwork.com for all of your football needs. Join us later in the week for the big video broadcast with myself and Joe Auriemma. And keep coming back to yesnetwork.com for all of your sports needs. Thanks, everyone.